Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Georg Simmel's The Philosophy of Money is a classic work of social theory and philosophical sociology that examines money not as a technical economic tool, but as a force that reshapes modern life. First published in 1900, it asks how monetary exchange changes the way people value objects, relate to one another, and understand themselves. Simmel is especially interested in the social and cultural consequences of a money economy: increased abstraction, greater calculability, new forms of freedom, and also distance, indifference, and alienation. The book does not function as a manual on finance or economics. Instead, it uses money as a lens for understanding modernity, showing how economic forms influence personality, urban life, culture, and the organization of social relations. As a result, it remains influential across sociology, philosophy, cultural theory, and political thought, especially for readers trying to understand how value is formed in modern societies. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, money is a universal mediator that turns quality into quantity. One of the book's central claims is that money works as a universal medium of exchange because it makes unlike things comparable. Simmel sees this as a major historical shift instead of valuing things through direct personal and qualitative judgment. Modern societies increasingly rely on abstraction and numerical equivalence. Money does not merely help people trade more efficiently. It changes the structure of perception itself by encouraging calculation, measurement, and detachment. This is why money becomes so important to modernity. It simplifies exchange. But in doing so, it also flattens differences that once gave objects and social ties their particular meaning. Simmel is not arguing that quantification is entirely negative. He recognizes that it expands circulation and coordination. But he insists that the price of this efficiency is a tendency to treat diverse goods, people, and experiences as comparable units. The result is a world in which value becomes easier to exchange, yet harder to anchor in concrete qualities. Secondly, how money expands individual freedom while creating new forms of dependence. Simmel offers a nuanced account of freedom. Money can liberate individuals from older forms of dependence based on status, kinship, occupation, or local obligation. Because money is transferable and impersonal, it gives people more room to choose among different ways of living and to break from inherited social roles. This is one reason Simmel sees monetary economies as historically connected to individual autonomy and social mobility. At the same time, he argues that freedom in a money economy is never simple. When money becomes the dominant means of access to goods and opportunities, people may become dependent on market relations in new ways. Their lives can appear flexible, yet they are also subjected to a system in which nearly everything must be translated into monetary terms. Simmel's key insight is that freedom and dependence are not opposites here, but intertwined effects of the same structure. Money loosens personal bonds, but it also creates impersonal constraints by making participation in modern life increasingly conditional on economic capacity. Thirdly, the social and psychological effects of a money economy. The book is deeply concerned with how money reshapes everyday consciousness. Simmel links monetary culture to the growth of intellectualization, emotional restraint, and urban reserve. In modern metropolitan life, people are exposed to rapid exchange, countless stimuli, and a high degree of social differentiation. Money supports this environment because it encourages quick comparison and practical calculation rather than intimate personal involvement. Over time, this can produce a blasé attitude in which individuals protect themselves from sensory overload by becoming more detached and selective in their responses. Simmel does not present this only as a pathology. He sees it as a social adaptation to modern complexity. But he also emphasizes its costs. Relationships may become thinner, experience more abstract, and meaning harder to sustain. Money thus affects not only markets, but also temperament, attention, and emotional style. The book is especially strong when it shows that economic forms do not remain external to personality. They enter the structure of everyday life and shape how people feel, judge, and interact. Fourthly, value is relational, not inherent. Simmel's theory of distance and desire. A distinctive philosophical contribution of the book is Simmel's claim that value does not belong to things by nature. Value emerges from the relation between a subject and an object, especially through distance, effort, and desire. Something becomes valuable when it is not immediately available, yet remains attainable enough to be pursued. This theory helps explain why money is so powerful. It translates desire into a form that can be measured and compared, while preserving the sense that objects are worth pursuing because they are not simply given. Simmel uses this idea to move beyond the assumption that value is a fixed property of objects. Instead, value is created through human relations and social forms. That is why his account matters beyond economics. It shows how scarcity, effort, and mediation help produce significance in culture and in personal life. The book's theory of value also clarifies why money can be both useful and dangerous. It makes values exchangeable, but it can obscure the fact that value originates in lived relations rather than in the object itself. Lastly, the cultural paradox of money progress, abstraction, and alienation. Simmel's broader argument is that money is a paradoxical force in modern civilization. It contributes to social development by enabling trade, specialization, mobility, and broader networks of interaction. It supports modern institutions and makes complex societies function. Yet the same processes can produce alienation because money tends to reduce qualitative distinctions to quantitative equivalents. In cultural life, this means that unique persons, works, and experiences may be evaluated through standards that ignore their singularity. Simmel is attentive to this tension throughout the book. Money is not simply corrupting, nor is it purely emancipatory. It is a form that intensifies both the possibilities and the risks of modern life. This is what gives the book its lasting relevance. Readers concerned with capitalism, financialization, digital payment systems, or platform economies can still use Simmel to understand why economic abstraction is never only economic. It reorganizes culture, identity, and social relations. The book stands out because it treats money as a civilizational form, not just a medium of exchange. In conclusion, The Philosophy of Money is best suited to readers interested in sociology, philosophy, cultural theory, political economy, and the history of modern thought. It is especially valuable for anyone who wants to understand how money influences more than prices and markets. It reshapes social distance, personal freedom, urban experience, and the way value itself is perceived. Readers looking for practical investing advice will not find that here. Instead, they will find a far more ambitious inquiry into the hidden structure of modern life. That makes the book useful for students, scholars, and general readers who want conceptual tools for thinking about capitalism, abstraction, and the emotional texture of modern society. What distinguishes it from many other books on money is its scope. Simmel does not isolate economics from culture. He shows how money becomes a general social form that penetrates everyday relations and mental habits. This combination of philosophical depth and sociological insight is why the book still feels relevant in a world shaped by finance, digital transactions, and constant comparison. If you would like to support Georg Simmel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.